Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. Amen. Hallelujah. This is Apostle Christopher McQueen.
And I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. We're so happy that you would join us today. I tell you, this has been a full day. The Lord has really been working and speaking and moving. And I mean, I'm just excited. I am full already. But before I get to all that, I'm going to say I need to first digress and turn it over to Prophetess Crystal McQueen so she may give us our announcement and lead us in prayer tonight. Prophetess.
God bless you, everyone. Once again, welcome to our show, Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. Thank you for joining us once again this evening. The announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. You can join me personally for Prophetic Atmosphere at 7 p.m. every Thursday. You can hear all of our broadcasts live at www.ctkr.org. As you're visiting our website, we do pray here that you will become a vision partner, prayer partner, and a financial supporter of this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. For those of you who have already been supporting us, we say thank you, and many blessings to you. Also, definitely want to let you know that we also have Facebook pages. Please go to our Facebook page, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, as well as WOPD, also known as Women of Prophetic Destiny. Like our pages, like our statuses. Let us know how God is blessing your life, and also let us know how this ministry is blessing your life as well. If any of you need information concerning the church in general, if you need someone to touch and agree with you in prayer, or you would like Apostle or myself to minister at one of your churches, please go to our Facebook page, our website, www.ctkr.org. Go to the Contact Us tab, follow the instructions there, and someone will get in contact with you within 12 to 24 hours. Those are the announcements for this evening. Let us pray and let us get right into the Word of God. Father, we thank you, we bless you, we glorify you, we praise your name. You are the Holy One. We are thankful and we are definitely grateful for yet this is another day. God, we thank you for your favor that you have showed towards us, Father. Father, even now as we come to minister your word, we invite the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's the anointing that destroys every yoke. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and breathe and reign, rest, and rule up on our hearts and up on our lives this evening in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that this is not business as usual. God, that you would give your people a hunger like they never had before, a cry out unto you like never before, asking for your glory, asking for your anointing, asking for your presence, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Even now, God, those that are saved, that are claiming your name, that are wearing your status upon them, Father, I'm asking right now that you would just give us the strength to continue doing the mission, continue doing the work, continue doing your will in Jesus' name. You said in your word, my will or my food is to do the will of the one that sent me and to complete his work. God, I'm asking in Jesus' name that that would be all of our models, God, that word would just be written upon our hearts, that we will be, that we will continue to move forward in the things of God, what you have called us, what you have birthed us for, God, what you have predestined us to do, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the breakout that you're getting ready to pour out upon your people. God, we thank you for those that you have been keeping on the backside, in the dark places, in the cave, that you're getting ready to thrust them forward in this next move. In the name of Jesus, we thank you right now. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
And amen. And amen. Lord, I thought that prayer was going
to
take off and go.
I was like, I saw you.
Brothers and sisters, if you could have saw or if you could have felt it, amen, I know you felt it. You felt that shift that was beginning. And I would just say here and let you go. Amen. Amen. We're here to service the body of Christ, if you will. And it's important for us to always be in a place where we can allow God to do what he does. Amen. But we have to be able to release and let go and let God. Amen. I know I don't have to worry about that with you. Amen. Amen. Listen, we're excited. The Lord afforded me the opportunity this morning to minister over in Pakistan, amen, this morning. And I tell you, I looked at the at the timer after I finished. He allowed us fellowship and ministering of the word for about a minute and 50, hour and 52 minutes. Amen. And one thing that I enjoy, and I said it before, I'll say it again. The people who are running around or their assignment that they ascribe to is to the people that's around them, trying to build the next biggest, trying to get more people to see them. And, you know, but really the ministry and the assignment that God has given, Jesus said, go ye into all, you know, the earth. That means I can't be sitting around here looking at you, you know, trying to get your members come over to my church and my members come over to your church. We're afraid to go talk to people in the street because they just don't want no Jesus. You know, listen, our job is to get out from here and to go out into the highways and the byways and compel them. The word compel means you didn't just ask them. You presented an argument that was irrefutable. Amen. Mm-hmm. You do all that you can to entice them in to the kingdom of God. And we've lost the drive to do that. They don't give me honorariums and offerings like I want. I can't dress in my designers and wear my exotics on my feet if I go that route. So, you know, I like to drive good cars. I want my Mercedes and Infinities and everything else. Listen, all that stuff pairs with you. Amen. When you get to the place where you can focus on Jesus and focus on his glory being manifested in the earth, and the assignment that he's given you, then he'll give you the Mercedes. He'll give you the Jaguar. He'll give you all the rest of that.
Mm-hmm.
But while your focus is on those things, the devil will give you those things if it means that you're not focusing on your assignment. He could care less about how much you speak in tongues, run around and say anything as long as you are not focused on that assignment. That assignment is what's going to tear his kingdom down. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And if he can keep you focused on superficial things, amen, then he can keep you from targeting him.
Yeah.
So he'll give you that car.
Amen.
Amen. He'll put you in the company of some great people so that you'll sit around and rub elbows and trade war stories. As long as you don't get to that assignment where lives are changed, souls are brought into the kingdom of God. Don't fool yourself. You know, it's not in how many people showed up to your last speaking engagement that makes you important. What is important is what is your kingdom impact. Amen.
Mm.
See, we think that numbers really determine our success in kingdom work. And really it does not. Amen. If that was so, then, as I said before, the rock star could be considered successful in doing kingdom work because they can sure enough fill up a stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But they're not doing anything concerning the kingdom of God in expanding the kingdom of God, developing the citizens in the kingdom of God. They're not doing anything with that. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So we can't turn around and look at numbers and think that numbers determine impact. They do not. Amen? You're going to see, if the Lord allows me to get to it, we're going to go to John, the 20th chapter. Amen? Something that he showed me, that 22nd verse, we're going to look at. Amen. But this morning when I was speaking and ministering to the saints over in Pakistan, the Lord had me to share with them the story, or the, not the story, but the event that happened with Zacchaeus. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we turn over there just a little bit? Amen. Luke, the 19th chapter. Amen. And then we'll go back over to John, because I want to show you what the Holy Spirit showed me. Amen. And it is my desire that we have a zeal after godliness. Amen. We've been talking about and dealing with what will you do with Jesus. What will you do with Jesus? Amen. And this morning, when after I finished ministering, I said, "Is everyone there saved?" And they said, "Everyone saved." I said, "Okay, I want to pray." And they said, "Can we do prayer requests?" And I said, "Absolutely." And they began to share their prayer requests, which was simple healing in different aspects and things of their life. They're saying, "We want healing here," or "We need different things." They ask for resources because here we're not, we have more of an opportunity to find a location and just modify it, amen,
mm-hmm.
for our use. And there, because Pakistan is a Muslim country, they do not make it easy for alternative religions to flourish.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Resources that come will come for the support of Islamic agendas. That's the word I want to use. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But not for Christian outreach. So when they get any resource, they stretch it, amen. The cost of whatever they need is not great. Just their ability to receive the resources to do great work, amen.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that to be true when we look at Kenya and when we look at Uganda, amen, Nigeria, other places where Christianity is one of the religions, but maybe not the main religion. There are different people who will do everything they can to project and protect Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And they'll do it as you know, by destroying Christian. We have not yet started talking to you about Christian persecution that goes on around the world.
That's right.
Really? While you're sitting here worrying about who took your parking space and who sat in my seat that I've been sitting in for the last 10 years, there are people over there for walking through the door of a church have been killed, have been maimed, have been their families have been persecuted. Amen. And you have the ability here freely to come and go, and yet and still we fight over the smallest things. Walk out of church, don't want to talk to nobody. They just wrong. They just wrong. Brothers and sisters, they're not just wrong sometimes. Sometimes you're being challenged to change so that you can meet the requirements of salvation. But you want to hold on to what you were and who you were and where you came from and y'all judge me. No. Let's get down to really what the Bible says concerning your personal ethics, amen, and what you are personally doing. See, we stop preaching unadulterated gospel. I know this isn't where I brought you to, but I'm here now. Amen. We stopped preaching the unadulterated gospel because it was not profitable. So people have been going to church and hearing somewhat of a message, hearing life coaches and motivational speakers and all kind of self-help information. But no word of God, no development spiritually. The enemy stopped running from us because he knows we don't know who we are. He's not running from us anymore. One song that was written a long time ago, Milton Brunson, where they said, "I beat the devil running and I'm so glad." I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. Why was we running from the devil? Someone said, oh, he's just being deep. I like the song. I like the melody of the song. I played the song for a lot of people. You know, we did a lot of musicals with that song and stuff like that. But when you really get down to the bottom of it, to the real root of it, you have to question that message. Why are we running from the devil? Today, people are still running from the devil. So when we say, what will you do with Jesus? Your answer, if you're running, is not use him, not use the authority, not use the name, not walk in the fullness of the power of the kingdom of God. You're not doing that. That's what you're not using Jesus for purpose. Amen. You're using Jesus as a way to say only God can judge me. And let me tell you all who keep saying that, only God can judge me. Yeah, some of them have already gone on to judgment, amen, and some of the other ones who haven't gone on to judgment, your day is coming, amen. See, we're supposed to work out our own soul salvation with fear and trembling, amen. Yes. We're instructed to do so. That means no one is exempt. Because I'm a possum queen does not give me a get-out-of-jail-free card. Or in this case, get out of hell free car, amen, because I'm Apostle McQueen. I have to walk the walk. I have to live the life. I have to confess. I have to ask for forgiveness. Yes. Greater than that, I have to forgive. I have to love. I have to show compassion. Where it's time for me and there's a need for me, I need to manifest miracles, signs, and wonders. Those things need to happen, amen. Yes. God isn't glorified because you sit over there and you gave a lot of money and you dressed real well and you networked the best you could within your congregation, because that's why you joined it, because all the people in this area who are doing any or doing something happen to go over to Bedside Baptist. Right. That's where you went over there so you can hobnob with those who seem to be forward thinking and going. Amen? Mm-hmm. Huh? Mm-hmm. You'll note that there are atheist churches that are congregating, and they get together and do feel-good songs like Happy, by Pharoah, because I'm happy. Yeah, yeah. And then we got some people who are playing that in their church. Because they say, oh, it's a feel-good song. See, now when people come, they don't know the difference between Christianity and secular gathering. They in the atheist church, they'll get up and they'll have a feel good, you know, inspirational, motivational, self-help, life coach speech or speaker.
Yes.
They'll take up an offering. It looks very familiar. But the one thing that they fail to do or that they refuse to do is utter the name Jesus in an authoritative fashion. So when they speak of Jesus, they say, we're not like those Jesus freaks. We're not out here doing that, but we are raising money for good causes, and you can live a good life. Listen, your positive thinking and your motivation will take you far, and they'll give you all of those wonderful things. Doesn't it sound familiar, like your this is your best life now? Yeah. You can live your best life now? Okay, well, listen. Sometimes your best life is at the foot of the cross where he is developing things out of you. Things that your flesh has developed. The Bible says we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. That means that there are some things that were introduced to you, amen, in your formative states that you have developed into a craftsman-like abilities. You have become a master of it. When you were younger, you were telling little lies, and people knew they were lies, but they were so cute, so they laughed at them. Look at this. He said, come over here and tell us another one. Okay? And now you've grown, and you're a professional liar. You're a little kid cussing people out, and people thought it was so funny because you had such a flippy mouth. And then you got older and started cussing like a sailor, like everything else. Listen, there are things that you have done when you were younger you didn't know no better. But we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Now you get saved, amen. Now you look for Christ, amen. And all you have is people who are validating those things as social vices. You aren't told to develop a godly lifestyle. You're not told to live a godly lifestyle. Amen. So what ends up happening then is that people begin to miss, amen, development, spiritual maturity. There's no vehicle out there for it, amen, because it's not popular. Amen. We got to get back to the assignment. We got to get back to true holiness. Amen. And true holiness is not running around the church with long skirts on and long sleeves, so spitting Jesus every 2 seconds to show somebody falling out in the middle of the floor to prove that you still got it. Amen. Just shouting and running around the church, and, you know, until your ankles hurt and your knees are swollen. See, it's not all of that. This is a lifestyle, and there should be some signs, wonders, and miracles that follow when there's believing, faith in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Come on, let's go Luke 19, amen?
Mm-hmm.
19:1. Could you read that for me, prophetess?
Amen. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Amen. Lord, add a blessing to the reading of his word. Now, let me just, we're going to have to move quickly through this. Amen. But I pray that you open up your hearts, your minds, and your ears. Amen. The thing that Prophetess was talking about before and the thing that I was saying before is that the work that has to be done by those who are willing to go. Amen. And for those who cannot go, you need to be able to release your resources so those who would go, who don't have means to go, can still go and do the job. Amen. Everyone has been given part of the assignment. Amen. And if your job isn't logistics, is your job may be the fiscal funding of it. Amen. You can't put the stuff together and go yourself, but you can fund it so that it can be done. Amen. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about you being a vision partner with us, we're asking you to give because the need is there. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Now, let's look at this because as I shared it with the saints over in Pakistan, amen, this morning, amen, at 8 o'clock, it was about 5 o'clock their time. They're 9 hours ahead of us. Amen. So I got up and was ministering at 8 o'clock this morning so I could be at their evening time. Amen. As I was ministering to them, the Lord began to show me some things here. Now, let's just begin to look at this. Jesus was passing, had entered and passed through Jericho, amen. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Look at him now. He is a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Amen?
Right.
Now, I'm not going to even go into how he gained his riches because the Bible does not tell us anything about him other than he was a chief tax collector. Amen? And people have already said and speculated and made note and reference of the fact that because he was a chief tax collector, he was known for being a crook and stealing when dealing with taxes. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? So we're not going to go into that. We'll save that there. Amen? Because the Bible does not give us anything to go on other than his occupation, amen, and
right.
The fact that he was rich, amen. We don't know if his riches came from the occupation or if it was something that he received based on his family, amen. So we can't speculate there, amen. We'll just leave it where it is. But we do see in the third verse that he sought to see who Jesus was.
He did.
Notice here, he did not seek Jesus out for a life-changing event. He just wanted to see who is this Jesus that everybody is talking about. We keep hearing rumors. We keep hearing stories of the fact that he healed the sick and he raised the dead and lepers were cleansed and people's lives were changed, and those who we would normally would have gotten rid of in stone, he has provided wisdom, and he has done all things well.
Uh-huh.
So he's looking to see, who is this man? Who is he who has the uncanny ability to walk into places and change everything there? He wanted to see who Jesus was. And I want you to know that there are people today still looking to see who Jesus is. They want to know who he is. Now, and the problem is that they come to find him, but they find us instead. Where we should digress, we're standing up trying to beat on our own chest and prove that we are somebody. We want people to see us in our perceived glory.
Mm-hmm.
If it had not been for him, then you would have a stand. Amen. You wouldn't have a platform.
That's right.
Amen. So when we look at this and when we see this, we see that he is coming to see who Jesus was. Yes. And brothers and sisters, as these people come to see who Jesus is, and find out about who he was, amen, on earth as we go through the Synoptic Gospels in the book of John, then we have to be able to demonstrate and show them him.
Yes.
Show them Jesus. See, thank you, Holy Spirit. I need to know you as a person. but I need to know him as a Savior.
Yes, yes.
I need to know that you're a good person, but I need to know that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I need to know that you carry some authority, and that authority that you carry in leadership is delegated because the authority was given to you by Jesus, who died upon the cross. And after he got up and rose from the grave, when he said, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and I give you authority in my name to use it for kingdom work. That's why you have authority. Not because you went to the best school. Not because you were the second or third generation preacher. All your parents and grandfather and aunts and uncles and all. We were the ones who started this Reformation. And we all know how to go, wait a minute, all that is good. That's learned, amen. But do you really have authority because you've been called to this office? Can you do it because you know it? Or are you going off of who mom and dad was and who was there before me? See, there are a lot of people, Prophetess and I were having this conversation, I do believe with someone else. We were talking about the fact that there are those who got churches because there was a thing set in place to make sure that the son would get the church, or the daughter in certain cases would get the church. Amen. Mm-hmm. But succession wasn't always merited.
Right.
See, that they took over the church because that's what mama wanted. That's what daddy wanted. You know, they sent me off to college so that I could be prepared for this. But I never really wanted to do the church or anything. I just wanted to, you know, help out and everything else. And then they get thrown in the captain's seat.
Yep.
And you watch the church suffer because it takes a grace upon your life to watch over and shepherd people. See, you can't be a good tactician, amen, and run the people straight into the meat grinder, amen. A good tactician looks at the whole field and sees how to do what the job needs to be done with limited casualties, amen.
Mm-hmm.
A bad general say, we're just going to take them out, and eventually they can't kill all of us, let's go. That's not wisdom. Amen. And when you aren't called to an office that you take or in a position that you happen to get, we got to get these people who are professional speakers out of our spiritual positions. If you don't have a pastor's heart because this is just a job, then give it to someone who has a pastor's heart. Leave the resources to those who are going to use them to build the kingdom of God. You can't, the church is going under and you still trying to get more of a raise because you're trying to look better in your friends' eyes. Well, Doc over there, he got 100 less members than me. He making this money. I should at least be making. Stop. What are you doing? This isn't about how much you should be making. If your car is paid for, your house paid for, there's food on your table, you dressing okay, you don't need to have riches to do the gospel. You just have to be cared for. People are giving more than they can, and they can't take care of the needs of the church trying to keep up with your appetite. And let me tell you about your appetite. The Bible says that hell and man's eyes are never full. Yep. So every time they give you an increase, the next thing you're looking for is how I can get a little bit more. Because a hireling will go over and destroy the flock in order to get what they feel is theirs. But a shepherd will stay with the sheep. If you're not a shepherd, let it go. Become a good businessman. Become a good motivational speaker.
Mm-hmm.
There's places where you can use that skill set. You know, start a nonprofit and speak to people about how to better their lives, because definitely you don't know how to preach the gospel and have a passion for the sheep. So go use that skill set somewhere else. But don't get yourself in trouble with God trying to get a check that you didn't learn.
Come on now, talk to us.
Amen. Let me get back to this. Zacchaeus here is a chief tax collector. Means he's a professional person. And he was rich, which means he knew how to handle money. That's why they probably put him in that position as tax collector. And not just a tax collector, a chief tax collector. Mm-hmm. That means that the man had to know how to use planning and forward thought. He planned it right. He executed it right. It brought back dividends to him and to those who were who employed him. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He had those who were under him, which is why he was a chief tax collector, because he ran in management what was going on with those who were just tax collector, uh-huh. taking care of the business of the government or the kingdom, if you will. Amen?
Right, right, right.
But look at this. He was short in stature. And some people have to really take this to heart, because you have used your physical limitation as a reason why you can't do what God called you to do.
Absolutely.
And I'm just going to tell you right now, you need to set that on a shelf, amen, and leave it there, amen. Because here Zacchaeus knows that he is short, and what did he do? The Bible says something very simple in the fourth verse here. It says, so he ran ahead, which means he had forward thinking.
Mm.
Huh? He didn't say, ooh, I want to see Jesus, but I can't because I'm short. Nobody going to get out my way. No, no. He said, listen, how can I make this work? I know I have a flaw. I know I have a shortcoming. You know, no pun intended. Amen. But yet and still, that will not be an excuse. And with that, let me tell you, you got to let go of all these excuses that you're using of why you won't do what God called you to do. Here's a man who isn't saved yet. His life, his heart is not regenerated. He ain't living a Christian life. He doesn't have any of that there. We don't see anything here that gives us the a thought that he would even be a man of God. Yet and still, Jesus is going to deal with them. And he already has a plan in place as to how to get ahead. You see that? Fourth verse says, so he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. Look at this. And this is what got me when I read it. For he was going to pass that way. Mm-hmm. And some of you are building monuments and setting up stuff and running down the road trying to get ahead of everybody else. But ain't nobody coming that way, because all you did was look for a tree and not see what path people were going. You never saw where Jesus was coming, so you never knew where to be. Huh? So look at this. For he was going to pass that way, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. Notice here, Zacchaeus, a sinner, ran ahead just trying to get a glimpse of the one who's making all the noise. But the one making the noise knew he was there for a purpose. And in your life, you'll run into some people, and they don't know how our paths met, how they crossed. I don't know how we came to be here. Listen, if you're following the leading of the Spirit of God, you'll find yourself in situations, and your job is not to get there and aggrandize yourself. Your job is to get there and do the work that he called you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? When Jesus got to the place, okay, so we see Zacchaeus go set himself, and then we see Jesus get to the place. Amen? Mm-hmm. When you understand the place, I was sharing with a musician, you have all this ability and all this skill and everything, yet and still you don't understand placement. And those who play music or understand music, you know exactly what I'm saying. if you're doing 50 million runs and chord changes and progression, wonderful, you learned that. Drummer can do 50 million drum rolls, flams, and frills and all the rest of that. A singer can do all kind of trills and riffs and runs, and all of that is good. But if you don't know where to place any of that stuff, you still can't sing. You still can't play. Amen? Placement is everything. Amen? So here, Jesus gets to the place where Zacchaeus was in his place. The placement was everything. Y'all see this? Huh? And when he got there, a short man was in the right place for Jesus to look up. Y'all got to see what's going on here in the spirit. A short man, short stature, Jesus looked up to him. Huh? And look at this. And saw him. And there are a lot of people who are lifting their own selves up, trying to be somebody great, trying to get people to see them. They place themselves in sycamore trees so that when people come by, they can look up and see them. And everybody that's looking up at you don't have your best interest in mind. Amen? See, you have to understand that if God does it, then he'll elevate you, and no man can bring you down. Amen? But when you elevate yourself, then anybody can bring you down. Amen? Huh? So here he is. Jesus looks up at him, and he recognizes him. He sees him. You see this? Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. And then he says something to him. He says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today I must stay at your house. Zacchaeus just wanted to see who this was. And now he has had words that will change his very life because of the proper placement and recognition of the man of God. Huh? Jesus has seen him now. Jesus now speaks a word to him. Make haste and come down. And let me tell you, this is important right here because this make haste and come down says, you elevated yourself, but come down from off of your high horse. Come down from the pedestal that you climbed up on. Climb down from that soapbox that you got up on. Climb down from your self-aggrandization. Climb down from your placement where your pride told you everybody should see you. Climb down from there. Make haste and come down. And when God comes in, when Jesus comes in and he begins to deal with you, the first thing you'll find out is that everything that you built up to be grand about yourself, he'll tear down about you. Look at your neighbor and say, there's something about the process.
Something about the process.
You got to understand this process is something that will challenge everything that you thought you need to have in order to be great, in order so that everybody could see you, so that you could see everybody in a position of authority. It tears you down from that because if he don't build you, you're doing it wrong. The Bible says, except the Lord build the house, the laborers labor in vain. And if he wants to build you up, allow him to tear down and tear out whatever he wants. Because when he builds you up, no man can tear you down. Second thing here we need to see, he said, for today I must stay at your house. So you went from just looking to see who Jesus was, to now having an invitation to have him make his abode with you. See, there are people who have an experience with Christ, but there's no indwelling because all they got was a touch and not a deliverance. Mm-hmm. Huh? All they got was relief and not a release. Mm-hmm. Huh? So here, when we see this, Jesus, when he said, for today I must stay at your house, the strong man is coming to make his abode in your house. And everything that is not God got to go. Everything that is not right has to go. Everything that is a deficiency and dysfunctional about you and around you has to leave your abode. See, when the healer comes, when the strong man comes, he doesn't come to sit around filth. He comes to do a job. When he comes in, he is the cleansing agent. Amen. Amen. The water is good, but if you don't put no soap in it, guess what? You ain't cleaning nothing. Amen. Yeah. He is the cleansing agent. You brought the water, but he brought the soap. Mm-hmm. Huh? Here, when he tells them, I will stay at your house. He didn't say, I will. He said, I must stay at your house. Sixth verse said, so he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Isn't this what happens when you sit in that church and you went because somebody invited you to a musical or to a certain service and you wasn't thinking about nothing else? You just went to be there so you could be nice to people because they've been asking you forever. But right. Something happened when you were sitting in that pew.
Right.
When you were sitting there, the word got on the inside. Yeah. Something was said and you begin to feel a shifting. You begin to feel a moving. Your eyes begin to water up. You begin to think about how God has kept you and how wonderful it would be if you had a relationship just like all these people are talking about. People around you praising God and celebrating Jesus, and you say, I want to celebrate. I want to praise him like that. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, that's when the Lord sends the man, the woman of God to speak to you and say, brother, sister, come on up here. I see that the Lord is speaking to your heart. Today is your lucky day. The Lord has chosen you to change your life. And those who have come have found out that it was the best day of their life. It was the best decision that they ever made. Huh? Mm-hmm. They received him joyfully. Now, understand when he went up of his own accord. When he came down in obedience. And that obedience had yielded for him a harvest. Let's see what happened. Let's read on. Eighth verse. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, look, I give half of my goods to the poor. Because before this, I couldn't see them as someone who needed my help. I saw them as lazy. I saw them as anything than other than those who needed my assistance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You want my help? Get to work. Pay your taxes. You'll be okay. But these people were poor for one reason or the other. And he says here, well, for change of heart. Remember, he went up as a chief tax collector and rich. He comes down a changed man. And the first thing he does is he says, I'm giving half of my goods to the poor. Look at this. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I'll restore for fourfold. In other words, he says, look, if I've wronged anybody, mm-hmm. if I've gotten my wealth by ill-gotten means, then I'll restore it to them with usury. Mm. I'm going to give it back to you with interest. Sorry. That was the old me. And that's how your life is when Jesus comes in and begins to deal with you. But let's back up a verse here. Because when God begins to deal with those whose lives are being changed, there's always going to be somebody out there who's too righteous to see the will and the purpose of God. What does it say here? Then seventh verse, but when they saw it, who are they?
The disciples
and those who were following Jesus. Mm-hmm. I've seen him do some things. He worked a miracle right in front of me. I was the second person over. He touched me. I could smell his breath when he came by. They want you to know how close they was to Jesus. Isn't it a shame that people get so close but never get changed by the close relationship?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Serve all the time. Some of the most hateful people I've ever met were people who were assisting leadership.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't lying.
Oh. I would like to speak to Reverend or Pastor. I don't know. He's busy. You know, they don't accept nobody. You wait a minute. Who are you?
Right.
Wait a minute. I'm nobody. I'm just a child of God. Just wanted to say thank you to him for the word that he gave.
Well, you ain't on this list.
Well, I tell him what you said. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to tell him what I said. I'll tell him myself. Amen. Well, we don't let anybody get to him because, you know, the anointing has to be protected. Listen, if this is how the anointing got to protect itself, we all in trouble. Huh? The crowd, those who were self-righteous, those who felt that they knew better, those who felt that they had a upstanding moral compass that was beyond refute, those were the they. Okay? And what are they doing? The first thing that they do is they all complained.
That's what they do.
Huh? But what are they saying about him? He has gone to be a guest with a man who was a sinner. Now, first of all, when you don't know, perception will mess you up.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Perception is he's going to be a guest. Huh? Perception is a man who was a sinner. But they missed the whole thing. This is the story of salvation. You see? Jesus didn't come over here to go sit with a sinner. Jesus went to go pour into the life of a new saint. You see this? This is not one who was evil. This is one who was redeemed.
That's what it is.
And when you start dealing with redemption, then it's not going to make sense to people who are self-righteous. Because in your eyes, nobody's perfect. Nobody can make it. You the only one. I don't know what kind of heaven you going to where you the only one who qualified to be there. Huh? Here Jesus is here doing the work. The work is proven in verse 8. And look what Jesus says in verse 9. Notice he didn't even address those crazy folks. He didn't validate it by even giving it a moment thought or a slight sigh or anything else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He kept doing what he was doing. And let me encourage you, when God gives you an assignment and you're doing what you need to do and you can see the results of what you're doing in kingdom expansion, lives being changed, people being saved, the power of God being manifested in the earth, then don't worry about what people are saying because they're talking out of their perception. And if they can't see through the eyes of God, see through the assignment that he's giving you, what does it matter what they say? Keep doing what God gave you to do. He's not going to judge you based on their perception. He's going to judge you based on what he called you to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that matters. Amen? Look what Jesus said to him. Today, salvation has come to this house. You see that? Huh? See? When Jesus got to the place, fifth verse, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must stay at your house.
Yeah.
Ninth verse, and Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. You see that? Now, these next words right here incriminate a lot of people because he also is a son of Abraham. The Bible said, brethren, if any one of you are overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. In other words, this is a restoration. A lot of people are walking around right now hurt because people got upset that somebody was going to see about them. All these righteous folk in verse 7, upset. instead of seeing the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Well, he gave us the name of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Prophetess and I were praying, Lord, what should we call the name? And I kept hearing redemptive. And she kept hearing Christ the King. And I said, so Lord, what should we say here? It's a Christ the King Redemptive Ministry. And he said, that's it. I said, it's Christ the King Redemptive Ministry. And we both said, okay. And then we started looking at it, and it's like, redemptive? Isn't that, that's a process, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Redemptive. It's not redemption. It's redemptive ministry. Because this is an ongoing thing. It is not the end of the process. It is going out and finding those who need to know that Christ is reigning and that the work that he came to do is ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
What we do is go out and seek those who are lost, not to judge them, but to help them to come in. One of the main things that I look for is I look for potential in people. If I'm looking for potential, it means that you have the qualities, even though you are not exercising those qualities. You may not be manifesting those attributes, but they are there. I look for potential because potential can be developed. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what we're supposed to do. Look what we're saying here, 10th verse. For the Son of Man has come to seek
and to
save that which was lost. Brothers and sisters, the assignment hasn't changed.
No,
it is still there. We're still supposed to be doing this. We're still supposed to be out doing the work. When I ask the question, what will you do with Jesus? Let's go back over to John right quick. Amen. Now it's a good place to be over there. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
John, the 20th chapter. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
21st verse. It says, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father sent me, I also send you. What is he sending us to do? To go get those who are lost. Amen. Some are lost because they never knew that there was a Savior. And some are lost because they fell by the wayside and couldn't find their way. Either way, our job is to go get them. And this is where I'm going to pick it up on Saturday, man. Because this next part right here, we don't have time to get into it. But I want you to see it. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. And said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. We're going to pick it up there. Amen? Our job is to go find them and to relieve them of their sinful burden. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, prophetess, pray us out.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we bless you for this word. God, I'm asking now in Jesus' name that you will put in us the word that was spoken, that we will focus on seeking those that are lost and teaching and preaching to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. You said if you be lifted up, that you will draw all men unto you. Father, we thank you and we praise your name right now for that in Jesus' name. Now, if any of you are seeking salvation now, please pray this prayer with me. Father, I'm a sinner. Wash me and cleanse me in your blood. Forgive me for all my sins. Make me whole. I'll serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, we at Christ the King here say, welcome into the kingdom of God. We are believing that God is going to lead you to a Bible-believing and teaching church that's going to train you and mature you in the things of God and producing in his kingdom. Amen.
Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There, I pray that you will become a vision partner with us. Thank God for the new saints and the ministry that are coming under our ministerial or under our apostolic covering, amen, knowing that there is the work that has to be done, even in Pakistan, amen. All the things that we're hearing, amen, we're praying that God will give us wisdom as we go forward. We need your financial help, amen. At this time, they have 38 house churches, amen. And I encourage you to go and look online and see about Christian persecution in Pakistan and over in some of the other Islamic countries where they are suffering for
the
gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
It is our duty, who are free, to help those who are in bondage,
yes,
to spread this gospel. And I ask you to help us with a financial gift. Amen. We are 501c3. That means that whatever you give us, we can send you a charitable contribution receipt. Amen. You can use with your taxes. Amen. So whatever you give, however much you give, we'll be able to use that to spread the gospel around the world. We still have our ministries in Kenya, Uganda, and Nigeria, amen, as well, amen, in the churches, ministries over in Philippines. In Pakistan, it's the new one that is coming in, and we're praying and asking God for that, amen. Now, go to our website, www.ctkr.org, and let the Lord use you there, amen. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it is God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.